Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Patriots Monday on Sports Radio WEEI. Patriots Monday is presented by Ace Ticket, where New England fans go for tickets to all their favorite events. Visit aceticket.com. By Putnam Investments, proud partners of the New England Patriots, and brought to you in part by Gillette, official shave of the New England Patriots.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Right now, Antonio Brown is preparing to play on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. Generally, with Bill Belichick, the way it works is if you practice on Wednesday, then you're preparing to play.
And yeah, that's right.
Maybe there are some football reasons where Antonio Brown is not ready to play. Maybe they don't think he gets the game plan well enough.
Brady from the gun. Fires. He's got Brown.
End zone. AB. Touchdown.
And you're in Miami, so why don't you just put your feet up.
Touchdown.
Be careful because it might get cryogenically frozen.
Great joke, though. It was very, very good. Very, very, very fun.
So what were your impressions of Antonio Brown's debut?
Yeah, we'll take a look at it on the film.
A lot of things we can work on.
And that's a segue into our next topic.
SI's Robert Klemko has a new piece up that includes more disturbing news about the Pats' new receiver.
Please, God.
Including lawsuits accusing him of failing to pay wages to former assistants and part-time employees, and another allegation of sexual misconduct.
A lot of things we can work on.
Antonio.
Right now.
We don't disagree. I don't know what you're talking about.
I said he's just not a good guy.
I just want to yell at you.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Right, we're spending a lot of time on the whole Antonio Brown story, and as bizarre as it is off the field, I think the one thing that's pretty obvious is on the field, he makes a big difference here. If I'm Julian Edelman, I'm sitting there going, oh my God, how are they going to double me? What are they going to do to me? When you look at Josh Gordon, when you look at Philip Dorsett, who I think could have a phenomenal season, mainly because the guy who's going to be in coverage on him is the guy that's deep on the roster, deep on the depth chart.
You think about it, you lose Rob Gronkowski, right? So right away you talk about what the how it's not one-dimensional. You know, he can go out there, you don't know if they're going to run it or they're going to throw it, whatever, right? But you think goal line, you think red zone. Rob Gronkowski, big body in the red zone. Now you think about Antonio Brown. I mean, against Antonio? You know, I mean, you got a goal line, one-on-one against him. Good night. He beats everybody off that damn line.
Some of the personnel.
And you saw it in this game. They just didn't connect. But you saw that in this game how they want to use him right there at that goal line.
Tight ends were catching
passes. I was going to say, and God forbid the tight end finally gets involved, because Matt Lacoste, you haven't seen him. You saw him the first preseason game, and that was it. And then yesterday. So imagine if he gets involved in the situation. I mean, to me,
everybody can get involved.
James White coming out of the backfield, Burkhead coming out of the backfield, you don't. And the thing that makes it even more special, and I think that's why people are looking at this team saying, oh, this could be really something special, is because you look at this defense. And this could be a shutdown defense, legitimate shutdown defense.
Are you going to, like, because they're, for the most part, they're pretty damn good. I would say in the fourth quarter, the defense, the Patriots defense, I mean, they were the beneficiary of bad receiving because the receivers got behind those DBs a bunch of times. They kept dropping the ball.
Let me ask you a question. As a guy who catches the football, do you ever duck when someone threw it to you?
That was funny.
No, I have not ducked.
That young kid, was it Balaj? Is that how you say it?
Balaj, yeah.
He's out of the backfield, throws a dump pass, and he sees it coming. He's like, oh, I'm going to get out of the way.
Maybe he thought it was Kalen
Balazs,
and he didn't want to touch it.
It was weird.
I'm afraid.
I will still say though that when I watched at least the first two and a half quarters, maybe I remembered why it's so difficult to win there, why it's such a difficult place to play, and the Patriots have lost five of the last six in Miami. You saw the offensive line getting hurt. You saw them losing guys, and after shuffling guys from right tackle to left tackle. Newhouse, who started at right for Cannon, had to go to left because Isaiah Wynn got hurt. And then you already had Andrews out. So two of your five starters for the season are gone.
I think that would have been a problem in the middle of a game because Tooney left for six plays. That would have been a problem in the middle of a game if you were playing a really good defense. Buffalo, 2 weeks from now, That there would have been a concern.
Yeah, but it did. There were some situations in the second half.
Yes, they were shaky.
Where Newhouse had each guy had three penalties between them. Each guy gave up a quarterback hurry. Each guy gave up a hit.
But it was still the Dolphins.
But it, my point is that it's still you're sitting there going, okay, it's the Dolphins, and sure enough, you can just see why things go wrong there, because on Sunday it was, why do they have so many problems there? Every time they go down there, they're the better team. They should win. They're always favored, yet something kooky, something crazy happens regardless. But this time was going to be different because the Miami Dolphins are really, really bad.
Oh, they're horrendous.
Yeah, you could see like it was 13-0 because Gostkowski missed an extra point, and it felt like it should be 28-0.
No, they're horrendous. They really are. I mean, that's a team that is lucky if they win two games this year. Lucky.
The Patriots did what they were supposed to do, and which is no surprise. I mean, even when they struggle, they dominate.
So I'm looking at the schedule, and we did this a little bit last night because I'm trying to figure out when they're going to be challenged. Because you can look at the first two, and you can say, okay, they wiped out Pittsburgh 33-3, Miami 43-0. Pittsburgh, pretty good team. Miami, a god-awful team, as we just said. Jets next Sunday. Are they going to be challenged in that game?
The Jets
quarterback. They lost a receiver. They've lost two members of the
defense.
Is Le'Veon
Bell playing? Is he back in there?
We don't even know if he's going to play tonight. We don't know. They're playing tonight, so we'll get the opportunity
to watch them.
Then
they're going to have a short week. They're going to have a 1 o'clock game.
Oh, against New England here in Foxborough. Okay, not good. Then you go to Buffalo the week after.
That's going to be a challenge. I like that matchup.
I think that first offensive line we talked about will get challenged
first,
in that.
First real
defense
test.
Is pretty good. I'm still not sold on Buffalo's offense. You sold on Buffalo?
No, but
they're,
I'm not.
They're the best team
first,
in your division.
Yeah, your yes. first real test.
Right. Okay, at Washington? No. Giants back here at
Daniel
at
Jones will be playing.
Yes, Daniel
Welcome
Jones
to the
will
NFL
be playing.
Rookie.
That's correct. Then they go play the Jets back in Jersey, right? And then they finally get Cleveland, but it's back here. It's a late afternoon game. Who knows where Cleveland is going to be? They got a rough schedule out of the
game.
But
there's still some talent there to be concerned with. Yeah. That's where the season starts, because it's Cleveland, then Baltimore, then a bye, and then Philly. You got some games after the bye.
Right.
That's where the season
right.
kind of
to me
starts.
that at Baltimore game. Let's see where Baltimore is in Week 9. Okay, let's see where Lamar Jackson is in Week 9. He's been terrific first 2 weeks, but let's see where he is in Week 9. Then you get the bye week, Week 11. You're at Philadelphia. I would say they're legit, though. Let's see how many injuries they survived.
Good God,
last
you ever
night.
Seen something like that last
no.
night?
No, that was unbelievable.
I mean, they lost everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, you know, DeSean Jackson goes out, Alshon Jeffrey, and then Wentz is hurt, banged up. That was the strangest
McCown
thing
comes
in the world, wasn't it?
A couple plays.
McCown comes
play.
In, they
yeah.
finally move the football, and yeah. also, you know, he's like, I want back in. They're like,
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a strange game. They lost everybody.
So you get to Week 12, you get Dallas, but guess what? I think they're pretty good, but you get Dallas here. New England's really good here. Then finally, you go to Houston. What's Houston going to be like when you finally get there in Week 13? Houston is usually good earlier in the season.
But you've got about six games in a row, and then you finish it with
Kansas City at home.
Yeah.
And then after that, you finish up at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Versus Buffalo versus Miami.
Yeah, those last three.
Cincinnati
whatever.
Looks like the old Cincinnati yes. Bengals before they got
week
a bunch
eight,
of talent.
Week 8 season starts against Cleveland, and you don't know what they're going to be. We'll see.
I would say dumpster fire. On that day for Cleveland, just well, I mean, a bunch of individuals who don't know how to win as a team, and a reckless quarterback in Baker Mayfield who thinks he has it all figured out.
If they don't win comfortably tonight, I'd be concerned about them, because what happened last week at home when they got blown out, you're playing a really beaten up Jets team right now, and you don't win this game big. You got to win this game.
The biggest
big,
issue,
don't you comfortably,
just
comfortably,
win. Just win.
Okay, just
yeah,
win.
But the,
I'm
when
just saying.
Win. Defensively, barring,
I think they gotta look
well, we don't.
Good.
We don't. I'm just well. You know, we don't judge teams the first 3 or 4 weeks, but if they don't win big, we don't think they're that good.
I think a team like that with the personalities
they need
have,
to win.
If they get into the hole 0-2, and I don't even know who they're playing in week three.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about winning the game, being 1-1, because that's a team that's got a lot of personalities, a lot of different guys moving around, still trying to find themselves. They need to get W's.
How about this?
And figure the thing out.
Let me give you their schedule. So they lost last week at home to the Titans, blown out 43-13. I hate to say it, week two, this is a must-win for them. You know those teams, they tell you the numbers are that if you start the season 0-2, your chances of making the postseason are not great. This is one of those teams if they go 0-2. Because next week they get the Rams
Believe
on
it,
Sunday
man.
Night.
Who's then this again?
Cleveland.
The Rams on Sunday night next week, at Baltimore the week after that, at the 49ers the week after that, the Seahawks, and then at New England.
All right, so
that's a bitch.
So out of the teams that are 2-0, I mean, you can't tell. 2-0 to me doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything to me either. But there are numbers that back this whole deal up. That if well, you're, I if think you're 0-2 in the hole,
0-2 feels a little bit different. Just as far as just constantly willing yourself to dig yourself out of that hole.
All right, Pittsburgh is 0-2, but they also lost their quarterback, starting quarterback.
I would say
they may be in a hole.
You know what? Here's what I'm thinking with Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph. I think we are seeing Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady 2.0. Ben Roethlisberger gets hurt. Mason Rudolph comes in. Did you watch any of that game? The guys, went to Oklahoma State, similar offense, got the same kind of mechanics, a little gunslinger mentality, sidearm trying to get it through all those tight little windows. This may be the last time you see Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh.
Mason Rudolph.
Mark it down.
I'm just saying, it's eerily familiar
Building
to me.
Something special.
When I see Mason Rudolph out there slinging it without a care in the world, and who knows how long he's going to be at the play.
So I'm looking at the 0-2.
No, don't lock it in. That's not an official lock.
So nope, too late.
I could see why the percentages are heavily weighted that 0-2 teams don't make the postseason, because 0-2 teams usually suck. So Miami's 0-2. Are they going to make the playoffs?
No.
Cincinnati 0-2?
No. Nope.
Okay. Pittsburgh 0-2, but they lost their quarterback.
This one's
we'll
better.
See. There's one team that has a chance. Jacksonville 0-2.
Dumpster
no quarterback. Right.
Whoa, what happened?
Denver 0-2.
Oh, right. Nick Foles.
Giants 0-2. Redskins 0-2. Carolina 0-2. Is that a team that could possibly rebound and make the postseason?
Because Gardner Minshew is not the answer?
He's a good dresser, though.
Dude, he's a fantastic interview guy, great dresser.
Did you guys hear the report that he only does stretching in the locker room in
Naked.
His jock strap?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm a huge fan of this guy.
Oh, my God. I love him already.
He's so, like AB at the art dealer's house.
So let's see. So this is SB Nation. They have 0-2 versus 2-0.
Yeah.
They say since 1990, teams start the year 2-0 make the playoffs 61% of the
Ooh,
time.
Yeah.
Those teams win the Super Bowl almost 8%. That's the highest Super Bowl winning percentage for a record after two games.
That's some good percentages.
On the flip side, teams that start the year 0-2 most likely sitting on the couch when the playoffs start. They have a 12.6% chance of even getting to the postseason.
Not so
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that sounds no. I get it.
No, it's not so good.
But that's a lot of that, I mean, there's probably. You
I expect
know,
Cleveland to win. We expect
but there's
Cleveland
also other things,
though,
you know,
tonight?
Like some teams that maybe, like, your starting quarterback comes back week three, was hurt. You know, I'm sure those are probably those types of teams that make the postseason, starting off 0-2. I mean, you know, big injuries, couple guys come back.
Whatever. But look at the margin of victory. Like, just what a difference, like Denver and Chicago. Chicago, who couldn't find a kicker for the last couple of years, finally has some dude who like a 60-yarder or something like that, Pinheiro.
Well, they go 0-2.
Or they go.
He's got a screwed up life.
It's so crazy, you know, what dictates your future. Like Denver, with the opportunity to go back 1-1 and really kind of reevaluate, and it's a kicker, a freaking kicker. I don't know. That's why it's great.
So when you look at the Patriots, and it's so hard. I mean, you look at the first two games, and despite who they were playing, certainly who they were playing yesterday, 7 sacks, 11 quarterback hits, 2 touchdowns by the defense.
You knew that was coming.
3 interceptions, or was it 4 interceptions? I lost count. You knew it was coming. But even though it was Miami, when you looked at that game yesterday, you come out of it saying, I don't care how bad Miami is, this defense is really good. You could just see the way that they're playing. They are so much ahead of what we usually see with the Patriots team. Usually the defense, we sit there, oh, bend but not break. Oh, they're not attacking the quarterback.
No, we knew this is a different animal.
Totally different.
Yeah, but think about the just the depth, one, and the long relationships that these guys have had. From the McCourties to Patrick Chung to Gilmore to Hightower.
Even bringing in Jamie Collins.
Back.
Yeah, right.
Jamie Collins coming back. It's just the communication, which is so important on the back end, they have it locked down.
Yeah, you know,
Jonathan Jones getting an extension, getting more money, getting rewarded for being doing a great job.
Like the Collins interception was phenomenal, right? Just athlete, one hand, grab it.
One hand.
But I think it was early in the game. Remember the whole talk about him being a freelancer defensively?
Yeah.
But I think it was one, like, I don't even know what it was. It was wide receiver coming to the left, and it was a misdirection. And he stayed at home and smoked him for like a 2-yard loss. And he just, you know, the play was going to the right. He beat his guy, stayed at home. It was almost like he was waiting for it. You know, it was like a sweep. And, you know, you talk about him, this guy freelancing. Maybe he'd go to the ball, go way left instead of just staying home and making the tackle. And he does. And you look at it and say, just, you know, there's the talent that you saw. It's just that he wanted to do his own thing to go get paid. Now he's gotten paid and he's here. Then you got Winovich. What do you have? Another sack and a half?
Sack and a half, yeah.
I mean, it's just this depth. It's like usually on the Patriots, if there's a sack, you sit there and say, okay, it's Chandler Jones, right? Or it's Trey Flowers. Now I think they had five different guys that were in on sacks last night, and that's just the feel like the way it's going to go. There's depth everywhere.
Well, think about it too, though. Okay, lots of offenses where they're playing catch up and they're throwing a lot. It's an obvious passing situation, and you're going to get multiple opportunities to get sacks. Everyone could be in. Well, not everyone. I doubt everyone's going to be in double digits, but they're all going to be plus five. I mean, based on it's already you know week three, and they're dominating the way they are. And every team's going to have to play catch up.
Well, and
lots of cheap opportunities.
An insatiable appetite for sacks.
And imagine if the offense continues because they got a way to go. And Brady was talking about that this morning, and he's right. They got a way to go because they've got new people involved in the offense. But imagine if the offense gets it all figured out.
They haven't figured it out.
Well, it was Miami. Come on.
I mean, we're talking about that side of the football. All these guys have been together. They're rotating some offensive linemen now, but that'll get fixed.
Well, first of all,
they've all been there.
Me and Antonio weren't exactly on the same page towards the end of that.
I know, but my point is Edelman, Dorsett, all the backs.
Gordon still doesn't seem like he's all in yet either. Remember, he just joined the club as well.
Yeah, but he's got a year under his belt, so it's like the learning curve should be a lot different for him.
I mean, Brady was talking about playing against this defense in camp, and he was really concerned, I think, about his offense because this defense was so damn good. And now you realize when you're playing other teams, maybe it was. But I still think it comes down to that Kansas City game. You look at that Kansas City game, and I'm not sure you're going to get – what was the score of this last year during the regular season, 48? I'm not sure you're going to see a score like that.
Although I watched that Kansas City game, boy, that happens quick.
Yeah, it's second quarter.
So they don't have Tyreek Hill. So you're like, oh, they missed that deep threat. And then they got this kid, you know, Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson. Right. And you're like, geez, there's people flying everywhere. They're like, oh, we'll take out Sammy Watkins. You know, he caught about 200 yards worth of balls the week before. And they got everybody else running around the field deep.
But Mahomes makes them. He makes it all work.
Yeah.
You can see it. He makes it all work. And to me, that's the team. And we'll see down the road how that all plays out. Bill Belichick will join us sometime soon here in this hour. We get back to your phone calls, 617-779-7937.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Glenn, Lou.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And Christian on Sports Radio WEEI.
Back here on OMF, we all agree. Offense a lot better with Antonio Brown. I mean, he's here for what? 5 days? 4 days? Whatever? Imagine how much better he will be when he finally...
He's only with them for a couple, wasn't he, as far as practices?
Working, from Wednesday on. Imagine what he will be like when he's on the same page with Tom Brady. It's scary. And when you look at the other receivers, and the question is, will they all stay here? Josh Gordon sounds a lot better, but it's all subject to change, right? And he's a big part of it right now.
Did you feel dirty watching that game?
I did. I felt real dirty.
That's amazing. Did you feel dirty about that game?
Lot of people felt dirty.
I guarantee you there are a lot of people that are even more cautious about this whole AB thing because they do not want to see him leave this team. They got a taste of it yesterday. They don't want to. You were accusing them last week, rightfully so, of handling the laundry.
See it today, too.
Right. It's going to be more so today because now they've got a glimpse of him in a Patriots uniform, and man, he looked good.
I thought the league should have handled it differently. They didn't. So when that happens and he's not suspended, you watch the game and you're as excited as anybody to watch the game. I don't know why you'd feel dirty about it.
Okay, so tell me
Antonio Brown, what he looks like with the New England Patriots.
So they didn't do that. They didn't put him on the list, okay? The exempt list. So you tell me they're doing the investigation right now. What should the league do now?
I don't know what they're going to find.
Right.
What if she shows him an email? Well, she accused him of rape. And he sat there, and in the email, he writes back to her.
And he admitted it.
Yeah. Or he's just like, whatever. I know you're screaming no and stop, but you liked it. I mean, I don't know what they're going to find. It's all hypotheticals. Yep. I don't know how I can answer that. They might find out that she's bat bleep crazy. And it's, whatever. Like, her story's inconsistent. She can't answer a damn question the same way, twice. So I have no idea what they're going to find. No clue.
Yeah, but... So even if it's whatever the worst picture in your mind can be of the story, but assuming all you have is just the text messages but there's no video, there's no real incriminating evidence.
No, he just gave you one. That's a good one. The email. If he admits
the email that we've been reading.
No,
we don't know what she has. I don't know prosecuting rape. I don't know. Her lawyer might sit there and say all you have is an email.
Okay,
you got no rape kit. You got no. We have no physical proof. All we have is an email. And I don't know.
If you're the league, I think you have to act on that. You know why?
Well, no,
because that will get leaked out.
What if it attacks? It's like, I know you were saying stop, but I know you know how much you like this.
Yeah, but
so
the other thing is like, and you said this last night, and I heard you. Like, nobody's under oath.
No,
she can say whatever she wants. It doesn't matter. They have no clue if she's telling the truth or not.
Well, the NFL gets a break in this because they don't even have the power to subpoena any witnesses. It turns out that the one witness that is there, who happens to be the cousin of Antonio Brown, Marquise Brown, who plays for the Ravens, is an employee of the NFL. So when the NFL tells him he's got to come to a meeting, he's got to go to the meeting.
So he comes to the meeting.
He doesn't have to say anything.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want anything to do with this.
I'm not ratting out my cousin.
Well, forget about it. What if I said, I don't want to be involved? Like, sure, you have to go, but is the NFL going to force you to talk? Listen, I want nothing to do with this. I don't want to be involved. There's nothing in my contract that requires me to sit down there and give you a testimonial. Since when is that required?
I will say this, though. Lou is right that if they come out with it, if there's an email and she can prove that it is his writing, he wrote the email, and in the email he admits to this, that it wasn't consensual, okay? And if that's the case, that will get leaked out. The NFL will have to at least suspend him or do something.
Okay, again, it's just a leak, but again, it's still he said, she said. There's no judge sitting.
That's not he said, she said. That's she said,
okay,
and
but
he said the
again,
same thing.
Antonio Brown has a lot of people who work for him. A lot of people who work for him. Lots of different phones. I didn't write that. I have no.
Well, that's
I,
why
I
I'm saying. That. Well, that's no, but that's why I'm saying in that's the court of law, a lawyer might sit there and say that's not enough.
Right.
But in the court of Roger Goodell, it might be.
If they have enough evidence where Roger Goodell says, hell, he's going to lose. He being Antonio Brown. He is going to lose, and he's going to lose in grand fashion because, and you know, it's not going to be Roger Goodell, who isn't an attorney, who is not a lawyer, but they will have lawyers and attorneys and PR experts in that room listening.
Oh, they,
it's not going to be Roger
being,
Goodell.
They're all being represented by attorneys.
Yeah, no, but no, they Brittany Taylor's, but the
league will have them.
Will have tons of
people. That girl, Lisa Freel, will probably be the one asking the question.
But I don't think that will be the criteria of whether Roger Goodell or the lawyers think that
he'll lose?
That she can, right. I don't think that's the criteria. The criteria is this going to embarrass the league? So if it turns out that there is evidence that shows there's an email, which we don't know of any email that exists, but if it did, where he is admitting that he did it, the league's got to do something to him because that will come out and the league will look really bad in this climate, the Me Too.
And I don't know, I'm just throwing up the hypothetical. You asked me, what would it take? And after the whole thing, Kirsten, you're saying win or lose. Again, I'll go back to the Roethlisberger that 4 years later there was a financial settlement. So is that a loss? They're most likely going to settle this thing. Maybe not for $10 million or $2 million or whatever. But 2-3 years from now, we might never even hear about it, but there might have been some financial settlement to the civil case back in 2019. It might be 2022. Who knows?
And I also wonder if he was on another team, let's say he's on this team, they're rolling, lots of attention, everyone's kind of sick of the issue. Would he be more likely to settle because he just wants to enjoy the year and to remove the stigma, which is now attached to the Patriots?
You're trying to apply and put yourself in his head. I think that's a dangerous thing because this guy, who hell knows how he thinks. I will say this. He did not speak yesterday after the game. Ironically, the Patriots sent Josh Gordon out there to talk about it. Would you talk about the progress he's made? It's pretty amazing. He's now the spokesperson for this. But does he ever address anything? How long can you keep him away
from
the media?
Well, I mean, by the time the media, first of all, so the media in Pitt, what is it? Sorry, in Miami. So Steve usually comes on first. Steve Burt, when we do the post game show, Steve comes on first. But in this situation, the media room was right next to the visitors' locker room. So nobody's even allowed to be in there and do anything because he doesn't, well, that's the word, that they don't want anyone to hear what's going on inside.
Don't
so no media
job.
Is allowed in there. So we had to start the post game show. And I'm sure at that point in time, there was a self-imposed delay. Okay, let's get him out of here. Take his name plate off. Get undressed. We're stalling on purpose.
Right.
And we have a legitimate reason to stall, so they can't say anything. Hell, listen, we opened up the locker room. He had gone on the bus. What do you want me to do? He was available. He just got on the bus. So where are they in the wrong? He was available.
I don't
he
know.
Packed
if,
up his stuff.
I don't know.
And he got off
well,
the
I'm
bus.
Not so sure.
I don't know exactly
I mean,
what
I'm
the,
just saying,
the NFL
listening
the
a few
rules
people, I think it was – all players have to be made available. All players that play in the game have to be made available.
Okay, so fine. So listen,
and
Lou.
He was not.
I
when
know,
the locker room opened up, he was not made
know,
available.
No,
he was already gone.
Nobody's telling players me when they hold on. Before. When the game is over, I can legitimately, I can flat out go straight to my car in my pads. I can go straight home. Goodbye. I can take a shower pill. I don't have to sit there. If I know the media's coming to talk to me, I leave. I leave. I just pop the pill and I go home.
Right.
And I sulk at home. That's happened tons of times. Even if guys. Forget about national attention and media. Guys just have a bad
well,
game,
I'm just saying,
and they want to avoid the issue.
The funny thing is like they actually, to me, made it look even worse because they could have just – you go to Antonio Brown's locker, and he's not there. No, they had all the equipment and his nameplate taken
yeah.
off.
It's like he's been like sucked up
you know
from
what I mean?
A UFO.
So they actually made it look worse than just saying, hey, he showered quick and left.
They did.
Instead, it's like, okay, well,
they made it
his,
obvious.
None of his
yeah.
stuff was – his locker was empty yeah. when we got in.
Yeah. So it's like they flat out removed him. Because to me, that's – listen, I'm available, but you guys got in here too late. So they delayed media availability, and he got his stuff out of there quick.
See, I think the Patriots did the right thing. I wouldn't trust him in front of
no.
the microphone right now.
I wouldn't let him talk
but eventually, if he's on the team, right. eventually he's going to have to talk.
Eventually, but not week 1 through 5 or 4.
You think it'll be that long?
Week 10.
You think it'll be that long?
How do you tell me next week?
Over under Thanksgiving.
So I would say, no, I'd say
this
in,
is
the,
a story.
In the next 3 weeks, he's talking.
But I'm saying this is a story all week, right? Because now tomorrow, I guarantee, or whatever the next day, we're going to start hearing what came out of these meetings. So this will be another big story. So they're not going to let him talk this
okay,
week
so
against
Josh
the Jets.
Gordon, Josh Gordon.
That's 3 weeks in.
Josh Gordon avoided all the media during practice and during the week. He spoke after the game, so 3 questions, and they grabbed him and they got him out
last
of there.
Year.
Okay, so
it's up to 7
eventually, the league will come down on them.
Yeah, but see, Josh
and they
Gordon.
And we'll make sure, because it's to your point, you got rid of us. It's too obvious. We know what you're yeah. doing.
But see, Josh Gordon's different than Antonio, isn't he? Josh Gordon smokes weed. And as
they
an,
still protected
as an,
him, though.
As an
they
addiction
still controlled
problem.
It.
Yes, but has Josh Gordon ever just you know in, put in front of a mic? Like, is he like a social media guy? Is he a talker? You know, where they were just like, listen, they could coach him up and be like, this is how you address your situation. You know, as far as your addiction and being suspensions and having a chance to come back and play and looking forward to the opportunity to prove myself, all those things. Antonio, you don't know where anybody's going to go with him.
Michelle, the perseverance room.
And he could talk. Like, I wouldn't trust him. I would trust Josh Gordon a hell of a lot more than Antonio Brown.
Did you hear Lawrence Guy?
Yes.
In the midday show?
Yes.
Okay. So whatever he's taking, take 3 of those. Subdue you.
Yeah.
Completely just, you'll be a blank face. You will have no personality
like
whatsoever.
I keep saying brotherhood because that's what it is.
Right.
I mean, this guy, I mean, he is, no wonder he's talking.
And it's got to be killing Antonio Brown because he loves this stuff. He loves the limelight. He had a good game. He was back.
Well, all we could do is take it day by day.
He was
telling
back.
You, it was the best yeah. interview I've ever heard.
He was back on center stage in the limelight yesterday, and he can't even take a curtain call. Because of all of this other stuff around it, but they have to manage him. He was on the field before the game with no shoes on. Oh, okay, a little strange.
He's like, let me show you that my feet are fine.
And then apparently there were a bunch of relatives and friends in the stands or whatever. And from what we understood, you know, Patriots executives were moving him back into the locker room. This is a guy that you have to really micromanage right now.
Nobody better than the Patriots to do that.
Excellent.
You got a lot of history. You got a lot of great information.
No, they're excellent. There's no question about it. But can he play? Oh, my God. You watched that game yesterday. And I think that's going to make it more difficult for the story in the New England Patriots. The Patriots reel off of the first 8 or 9, 10 wins in a row. And he's a big part of their success. The rest of America is going to look at it. This scumbag is getting, you know, he's being rewarded. He's going to maybe the best team in the league. This might be a historically best team.
Yeah.
He's getting rewarded. That's not going to be easier. That's going to make this story even worse. And you know
we'll see how long it
lasts.
Okay. Well, that's a different story, right? But if this is what we're dealing with right now, week 6, week 7, week 8, we're still talking about this stuff.
You know, but here's the thing. I was just thinking. So.
Yes.
So the media. So he's gonna have to make himself available. But you know how this works. It's some random day when nobody's really thinking about anything. Nothing's going on, and then he's talking on a Wednesday. He answers 3 questions. They pull him out of there. And he leaves. Nobody's waiting for it. Nobody's expecting it.
Test balloon.
He just throw him. Hey, listen, he did it.
See how it goes.
Yep. 3, and then they still remove him on game day.
You zapper on his neck.
You're talking too much.
You think this thing disappears?
Well, I'm just saying, if this week they handle it, he goes out and plays. Next week there'll be some more of it. The following week, week 8,
has he spoken?
Yeah. Well, he starts talking week 5. Like I said, week 6, 2-3 weeks from now. Week 8, we're still talking about Brittany Taylor. We're still talking about Klimko's article in SI.
If there's more, but there'll be more. We know that. So how many people do you think he actually owes money to? We saw 5.
We got them all here. There's about 6 or 7.
No, there are a lot more than that, I bet you.
Okay, great. Right. He still owes more people.
And so all that stuff will come up. But it will just keep this thing going. But the more successful that this franchise is this season, and let's say they go on this undefeated, we're talking about a 16-0, possible 16-0 run. I think the AB story is a bigger story because people are pissed. People can't believe that he's getting rewarded with all of this stuff. I think that's
especially if he's putting up numbers to go with those wins.
Yeah, and it looks to me like he's going to put some numbers.
Oh, he's going to put some numbers.
Yeah. This hour being brought to you by findmassmoney.com. Am I supposed to read this right here?
Yeah, normally we would do last call, but Bill Belichick, more importance.
Okay,
yes.
Last call. Is Bill? Bill's last call? Boy.
Bill will be our last call today, yes.
Look at that.
Brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car and help a child today. Schedule your free pickup, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. Bill Belichick joins us coming up next right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I think they're actually going to be a little bit dissatisfied because they're just stumbling a little bit offensively for them. And I think it gives Coach Belichick a chance to actually do some teaching and some coaching in this week coming up. AB, I think they wanted to make a statement with him, and they did. If he stays on the field, he is going to be maybe the ultimate weapon for Tom Brady.
Tom Jackson, Chris Berman, back together, by the way.
I love
back
it.
Back together on Sunday on ESPN+.
There could have been more there, I guess.
Disappointed in the offense?
Yeah. No, I think if you listen to it again, he thinks that the Patriots would be a little dissatisfied offensively with the fact that they left points out on the field.
Oh, okay.
That's what I took out of it. He says it. It's not they'll be disappointed with themselves. Is that they could have been a lot cleaner.
Yeah, because I didn't understand it when he first said it, but that makes sense. They probably did leave some points, some red zone. You could look at the red zone, and you could also look at, but I thought he. The way it sounded.
No, it was sold to you wrong.
He was disappointed in the offense. It didn't seem to make any.
No, because your goal, obviously, you want to sit there. You get those opportunities. You want to finish every single time.
So if they left points out in the field yesterday, how many would they have scored if they didn't leave
60.
Those points? Something like that. Time for us to sit down with Bill Belichick. It's brought to you by Mass General Hospital Cancer Center. Every day amazing by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health, McFarland Energy, the area's premier heating oil provider, Needham Bank, and by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. Bill, how are you doing today?
Okay, Glenn.
Congratulations on the win.
Lou, how are we doing?
Good. A little cooler down here than it up here than it was in Miami. So yeah, Brady said today it was the hottest he's ever played on the field. So you tell me, how does that play when you are coaching a team, and do you change anything? Does anything alter with the heat?
No, I don't think not too much. We tried to play our full roster as much as we could. Certainly, we got a lot of play time from our defensive players offensively. Other than the offensive line, I think our skilled players all got quite a few snaps. So, but you still got to go out there and play.
Did that makeshift canopy work at all? You guys had on the sideline?
It's definitely a little bit cooler. Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
I was like, just watching that game, it just. You know, a lot has been made about, you know, how tough it is to win down there and just the environment. And you can kind of see, even though the score was 13-0, it seemed like they were still hanging around. They still felt like they were going to compete. And then you guys pulled away from them because the injuries to the offensive line. How much of a concern is that with Cannon being out and then Isaiah Wynn going in, and then you had Newhouse, and then you had
Corey Cunningham.
Yeah, Corey Cunningham. And Newhouse, both of them had issues, penalties, little hits. But how challenging was that for you guys in real game time to kind of manipulate that and put those guys in the right position?
Yeah, I think Dante and Josh did a great job of that. I think between them, they've practiced 11 times total combined. So, we were hopeful for Cannon. Marcus wasn't quite ready, and then Isaiah went out. So, those guys ended up playing a lot more than any of us thought or hoped that they would. You never hope for injuries. So, but Marshall held up, left tackle for Isaiah, or right tackle, or left tackle, rather, when Isaiah went out, and then, Corey came in at right tackle. And, I thought those guys competed hard, and it wasn't perfect, and but at the same time, we were able to still, run our offense, and I thought, overall, we were able to play well in the second half in the conditions that you mentioned, Glenn. So, I'm proud of our team for that.
Coach, given how little time Antonio Brown was with your team last week, were you even surprised, as far as how much you were able to use him, given how, 2 or 3 days he had practiced with you guys?
Yeah, practiced 3 days, and he was here Monday and Tuesday earlier in the week. So I think it was kind of went about maybe the way we thought it would. I don't know, there's no set formula, but he got to play some, and so we'll build on that and see where we're at.
Yeah, you'd say the different type of offenses he'd come from, right? So this was this should be a challenge. So just I guess maybe there's the level of receiver, smart football player that he is, was able to catch on with some of it.
Yeah, well, again, we didn't use him for everything. We used him for things that he had some reps on and that he felt comfortable with and so forth. And so a couple of those played out early, but not necessarily by design. It just worked out that way. But, it's good to have him out there, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, the media down here, and they obviously are asking you questions about his off-the-field issues. There's obviously looks like there's going to be stuff daily. There were more stories about it today. Do you just wait for the leak? What do you do?
Yeah, we're working on the Jets now, so I've already addressed that. I'm not getting into any of that.
But you sit back and you just let the league, you just continue doing, just staying away from it.
We're not involved with it.
Yep.
You know, Coach, one of the things, it looks like you guys, I know it's 2 weeks, but it looks like you guys have a pretty good team, and everything is working so far. And it reminded me of something Nick Saban said, your buddy Nick Saban said, when the media was just recognizing and, you know, just, you know, fawning all over his teams, and he called it rat poison. You know, because he didn't want the team to kind of get caught up in how much everybody loved them and how good they were. You know, knowing that that could happen with this team, what do you do to kind of offset that, all the praise and all the accolades that all these guys are getting so early in the season?
Yeah, well, I think our team is hopefully mature and you know, honest enough to see what it really is. So there's some things we did well, and that's good, and there's some other things that we didn't do well, and there's some other things that are close, and if we improve on, we'll be better. So that's we just try to be honest with them, and it is what it is. Like I said, there's some things we did well, some things are just okay, and other things are just flat out not going to be good enough, and we need to get those corrected. I think they recognize that.
Yeah, and they're receptive to that too. Yeah.
Well, I mean, all you do is watch the game. Yeah. It's not really that big of a mystery.
I mean, I think it was the 07 season. I think you brought out Humble Pie t-shirts. Like, the team, like, you know, needs some Humble Pie because of the same situation.
Yeah, no, that wasn't me.
No, it wasn't?
No.
Somebody else supplied
it. Somebody on the team.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Invaded the line.
Which I thought was a great idea, too.
Yeah, you get a big win like that, and Sony Michel's running the ball well, and then he fumbles. So is it one of those... we got to win, lessons learned type of thing for you? Oh, for him?
Well, I think all of us that participated in the game as players and coaches, I mean, we all made mistakes. Mm-hmm. We all did things that we want to correct and need to do better. I think every player feels that way. I can't imagine one that didn't. But, you know, we're happy with the win. It's good to get down there and get a division win, no question about that. But there's still a lot of room for improvement from all of us. So we'll just keep taking it day by day and try to get better every time we get an opportunity.
Team was still playing hard toward the end of the game, and I noticed in your post-game press conference you were asked about that, why certain people were in or whatever, and you talked about the 60-minute effort. Does that have anything to do with what happened in Miami a year ago? Was that like, this was a teaching tool right here? We've got to play 60. Look what happened last year. We played 59, and we lost 59-plus.
Yeah. Well, that was a big theme all week. Yeah. We felt like we had a chance to win the game last year and couldn't finish the last 7 seconds of the game, so playing 60 minutes is playing 60 minutes.
No matter what the score? I mean, you know, it's 37-0,
Well, look, we didn't want them to score at the end. They were trying to score at the end. You know, it's just competitive football out there.
Some pride in the defense probably, too, right? At the end, they want the shot.
Sure, of course. Yeah, we're playing hard. They're playing hard. I mean, I don't think you're really worried about the score at that point. You're out there competing.
Is Jamie Collins, well, how different is Jamie Collins, I guess, 2.0 than he was the first time around? As far as just, is he a overall better player? When he came back from Cleveland, did you notice anything that he had, any skills that he had acquired before he left?
I think he was a pretty good player. He's been a pretty good player since he's come into the league.
I agree with you. I thought he was good when he was here, too, but he leaves and he comes back. Did he come back with a greater understanding of the defense? Was he more aware of certain situations? Was he quicker recognizing plays?
Well, of course, I think the extra experience is always a good thing. But as I said, he was a good player before, and he's done a good job for us in a lot of different roles. He's played on the line, off the line, rushed the passer, covered, played the run in both spots. So. He's done a good job for us. A very versatile player. He's smart. He's a very instinctive player. He's just always around the ball, and he's made plays for us all through training camp and in the preseason, two regular season games. So we'll see how it goes. But he's certainly been a good addition to our defense.
So Stephen Gostkowski's been outstanding for you throughout his career, and it just seems like something's in Miami. You know, because the numbers. Who was Starling seeing a lot of his misses down in Miami. Can that just be a mental thing, just superstitious or whatever? He steps down there and it's just like he doesn't feel confident?
Well, Steve hit a lot of good balls yesterday. he kicked off well, and he had some really good hits, placement kicks. But again, it's an entire operation, so we have to be good with everything: the snap, the hold, the kick, and of course, the kicker is the most important part of that operation. But everything's important, so we'll just work hard as a team to protect and kick. And you know, I know nobody worked harder at it than Steve, and you know, sure he'll work hard to do the best that he can, and you know, everybody else needs to do the same. Jake, Joe, and our protection unit. So
you have no concerns with him. With Steve.
Look, every week's a concern. I mean, it's the National Football League. Every week we all have to go out there and perform. So that's what we get paid for. That's a challenge. We're playing against another good team with good players and good coaches. So every week's a challenge.
You had a couple third and longs yesterday, I think third and 17, third and 12, whatever. I remember talking last year, and that was an issue. Was not an issue. You came up with big plays on both of those. What was the difference?
Yeah, we just hit him. We got the ball outside both times. Phil Barrett ran a great route and got outside of a outside technique corner. And then on the second one, the Dolphins were in a kind of a three-man rush, four under four deep coverage, and Tom hit Josh on the sideline. It's a good throw, but it just you know, you don't want to be in those situations. And we picked him up yesterday, but you know that's not a good way to live. Third and 14, third and 17. So you're happy you get them. You don't want too many more of them.
You know, rub routes, pick plays. Guys got flagged for them yesterday.
Challenge.
And it seems like a lot of teams are having these issues with it, the way the refs are calling it. I'm just curious, what's the general rule for a receiver? Is it if I, you know, secure my position, do I still have to get out of the way? If I get to a spot before the defensive back or whoever is covering, are they allowed to run through me and almost flop into a penalty? I'm just trying to figure out how you read that and how do you teach them to actually run that play? Like, what's the coaching point for that?
Yeah, well, there are two different plays that came up. But, I mean, the bottom line is if the defender's within a yard of the line of scrimmage, there is no pass interference. You can block them. You can, you know, do whatever you want, really. You can get in the way. Beyond that, you're not allowed to, you know, run into him. And so it's, you know, an official can't judge intent. Like, was he trying to? Was he not trying to? And so if it happens, then the official has to assume that if it's more than a yard downfield, then it's a foul.
Is that one of the more frustrating calls, I guess, when it comes to, you know, penalties in the league?
Well, I mean, look, there was a couple, you know, tough calls out there yesterday. You know, the call on Slater not coming back in bounds, the call on McCourty. You know, but that's football. So there are going to be some tough calls, and some of them you're going to get, some of them you're not going to get. And, you know, we could probably sit here and watch them, and I don't know if we would all agree one way or the other. So officials have to do the best they can in that situation, and I think they do. You know, some of them we get, some of them we don't get, but there's nothing we can do about that. It's not really a matter. Doesn't matter how we see it, it's how they see it, and we have to learn how to play so that we can not commit infractions.
So the first couple of weeks across the league, like the challenging of PIs, it seems like it's going to be egregious in order for them to kind of go back on it. Is that still like a learning curve as far as, yeah, it might have been pass interference, but they're not calling it like this? You're still trying to figure out how they're using that?
I think we're just trying to go by what we think the rule is, and I think that's what they're doing too. So obviously there's going to be some gray on a lot of these plays, but if we challenge it, it's because we think that there's a reason to, and if we don't, then it's because we think that they officiated it correctly.
Do you have a different criteria, though, in your mind when you're going to challenge it? Because you almost get the feeling early on, as Lou was saying, that they don't want to have another catastrophe like they had last year in the NFC Championship game. On the other hand, it really has got to be egregious before they're overturning these calls. And yet, yesterday, it seemed like they were calling them a little looser. I mean, in your mind, have you figured out where they're going with this? Do you have an idea of where and how you are going to sit and challenge?
Yeah, no, again, we're going to look at it. If we think it's a foul, then we'll challenge it. If we don't think it's a foul, then we won't challenge it. I mean, depending on which side of that play we're on. You know, the other factor that always comes into play is how important is the play. You know, we don't have an unlimited number of challenges, so, you know, to challenge a play that's a, you know, 5-yard gain, is it, isn't it? I don't know. Is it worth it if you win it? Is it worth giving up a challenge? I mean, it wouldn't be if there was a critical play later in the game that you wish you had that challenge for. So that's another part of the decision. There have been plays that we thought, well, we should challenge this play, but in the end, do you really want to use your challenge on that play? Even if you're right, do you really want to use your challenge on that play? Is it that critical of a call? So I think that's part of it too. So when you say, well, would you challenge it? Wouldn't you challenge it? Look, it's a 50-yard pass, and it's a game-changing play, and, well, maybe even if you don't think you're going to get it, maybe it's still worth a challenge, even if it's 25-75, because of the significance of the play.
So risk reward plays into it, then?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you win a challenge on a 5-yard play, I mean, okay, well, is that really worth it? I don't know. Depends on the situation of the game and all that, but, you know, first quarter, game's just getting started. You know, I'm not sure that you'd want to use a challenge on that.
Yeah.
Put yourself in a, you know, situation where you have one less.
So the Jets, they play tonight. You guys play them on Sunday. I'm just curious, as a coach, do you get anything out of like the TV telecast? Do you just sit there and say, I'll just watch film, you know, later on or first thing in the morning?
Yeah, well, I think you can get some things out of it. You don't really see the whole game, but that's you know, there are certain things that come out of it. There's some things with the Jets that'll be interesting to see. You know, they've had some changes this week, so think we'll be able to see on TV what those are, but you know, we'll have the film by tomorrow morning. We'll be able to look at it then. So I don't think it's
so you can relax
that
tonight.
Big of a deal. Yeah, I think we all have plenty to do even without that game. There's a lot to get ready for with the Jets and certainly Miami. When Adam was there and his history against us from the Dolphins, where you know we had pretty good amount of success against us down there. You know, we certainly have to be cognizant of some of the things that were problems before. Adam does a good job of creating problems, so knowing what he's done to us, is that's part of this game too.
All right, well, here we go again. It's the drive of the week.
What about the defense? They didn't score touchdowns yesterday. Come on.
Listen, it's not your question. Okay, you know, he
sorry,
always wants right. to jump in on this.
Ask the question, Glenn. Ask the question.
Let me sell some soap. All right. So, Drive of the Week is brought to you by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. This summer's hottest destination is the Mercedes-Benz Summer Event. For an incredibly priced Mercedes-Benz, head to mbusa.com/summer-event or visit your local dealer for a test drive. All right. Floor is yours, Coach. What do you think?
Sure. I'll take Gilmore's interception for a touchdown.
Yeah. Drive of the week, one play. Defense. See, yeah. I would think that like that first one was pretty.
That was a good drive.
You know, just because it's, I know how important that is. It's so hot. It's, you don't know what to expect.
You always want to play from ahead, and that was a good drive, too. Absolutely.
Yeah, how about and the other?
I think anytime you score on defense or in the kicking game, those are bonus points. You don't really go into the game thinking, all right, we're going to score, you know, 14 points on defense or 13 points, whatever it is on defense or special teams. You know, you're trying to make plays on category, so I'll take them.
Yeah, and Gilmore, his first interception for a touchdown.
Well, you know, Steph gets his hands on balls in practice, and he had a really good week of practice this week. So, as you know, a lot of times those practice execution becomes game reality. You've ever heard that before?
I have a couple times. Could you go talk to my son's high school for me real quick and explain that to him?
Well, let's put it this way. They did have awareness in this game yesterday when balls were tipping off of receivers' hands. They were in the right place, right, at the right time.
Yeah. Again, some of it's making play. Some of it's taking advantage of opportunities. And that's, you know, that's part of it, too, is being able to capitalize. We had a couple other balls we had our hands on and, you know, would like to have come up with, but we'll keep working on those, and maybe we'll get them next time.
Conversation with the Coach brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners, committed to an active game plan on and off the field. 2-0, on to the Jets here at Gillette next week. We'll see you next Monday.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Glenn, Christian.
Louis, all right, good see you luck.
Bill Belichick right Jet here week. At OMF, and we're out of time for the show.
It's yes, we're going to say goodbye.
Everybody. Back tomorrow, 2 p.m. We'll talk a lot more about this stuff tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a good one.
It's over. We suck. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.